Radix Copycast. I'm Emily King, Radix's research and marketing executive. With me today are John Kerrison and Steve George, two of our copywriters here at Radix.
Hello.
Hello there.
In this episode, we're going to be discussing how to make the most of writing for Twitter when you only have 140 characters to play with. How do you make the best use of that space to drive clicks and shares? Social media is an essential part of content strategy. Once you've developed your content, you need to get it seen and shared, and social media is a great way of doing that. In B2B, Twitter is a much more important channel than Facebook, but success depends on the way you write the Twitter copy. And with only 140 characters or fewer to deal with, it's a big challenge for a writer to create something that's coherent and makes people want to click or share. John and Steve are writing social media copy every day for our technology industry clients. So we're going to talk about some techniques the writers can use to make the most of that limited space. So how does the purpose of the tweet affect the copy that you sort of put into it?
Well, any tweet that we're writing for our B2B clients generally has two primary purposes, I'd say. You're trying to get people to click through, you want them to engage with the asset or whatever it is you're promoting, might be something like an event, but you also want them to share it. You want to make sure it gets out to as many people as possible. So fortunately, those two goals are quite well aligned. If you're achieving one, you're usually achieving the other. If something is engaging enough to make someone click, it should be engaging and exciting enough to make them want to share as well.
Yeah, and the more that people share things, the more clicks it will get, obviously, as it spreads across the network.
Absolutely.
But essentially, the purpose of the tweet is to get people to click on the call to action. So I don't think the way we write them really changes too much whether we're looking for people to share it or to click straight through to the link.
I'd agree with that.
How do you get the essence of the story into 140 characters?
I think it depends. It can be quite difficult. It depends what you're promoting. But I think there's two ways of doing it. You can either pull out kind of the main benefit of whatever it is you're promoting, how it's going to benefit the reader, or you can kind of tease a little bit and just try and ignite interest by saying something that you know will appeal to the audience.
Yeah, I think as John says, it's a matter of you really need to know what it is you're promoting, but also you really have to know your audience. When you know those two things together, it should be really easy for you to identify what is the key point in here that's going to be of high value to my audience. That knowledge combined, you can really, really quickly start to identify the high level message which is going to apply to the audience and really excite them to click through.
Yeah, I don't think there's no room for detail in 140 characters, is it? So you really just have to pick kind of one point and go with that and hope that's one that drives it across.
Yeah, when you have your audience and asset knowledge in place, identifying it is really easy.
Yeah.
So what ways are there to try and encourage people to click?
Well, when I'm trying to make someone click, I've got a few strategies that I like to use. I think asking questions is a really good way to do it primarily because it gets someone to immediately engage with it. They're thinking about the issue you're presenting in their terms. It's really good to be able to immediately offer them a solution to a problem that you know the audience is having. If you can present an issue that they're having in a way that you have the solution to it, and if they click through, they can find out how to solve that problem, that's obviously immediately really exciting to them. And also, I think if you can be a bit brave and present something, a topic that matters to your audience in a slightly more entertaining and exciting way, in a way that's humorous to them, then that's a great way to get the content shared as well as driving clicks as well. That's something people find quite refreshing, especially in the B2B environment, I think.
You've sort of... I sort of had exactly the same three tips as you did. I think asking a question is really useful because it kind of sparks a bit of thought within the readers.
Well, it gets them thinking about the issue and the topic in their own terms, which as soon as you've made that happen in their mind, then it's suddenly so much more relevant to them and everything is in perspective for them.
That's a far more eloquent way of what I was trying to say. Also, I like it when tweets are amusing or they're a little bit different just because, you know, you want to be entertained on social media, don't you? And you want something that's going to stand out from the rest of the kind of B2B tweets.
Well, Twitter's certainly not the place to be dry.
And my third tip, which is a bit obvious really, but to make things as concise as possible. On Twitter, you don't really have a lot of option to do anything else, but I think just getting to the point as quickly as possible is the key to all good copywriting, I think.
Well, then how do you manage that you actually are succinct when you're writing tweets?
It's a difficult question. I generally find I have very little to say, which helps. I don't know. I mean, you don't have a choice. I think that's the thing. That's the way Twitter works, isn't it?
Mm.
You have to fit things in. You have to get the point across. So a lot of time it takes a lot of re-editing, a lot of kind of reshuffling of words. And I think it's quite handy in that way because it makes you a tighter kind of copywriter, I think.
It does.
Absolutely. Your skills.
Yeah, I would agree. It's definitely a major challenge. It is the primary challenge with Twitter, isn't it? Having this literal restraint on the amount of copy you can write. But I think, as I mentioned earlier, once you've identified the point that matters most to your audience and the value that they can gain from whatever it is you're offering them, once you've got that, once you've got your primary point isolated and you've identified your story, it then becomes a distilling process, doesn't it? You start to think about, how can I get this down? How can I cut a few characters here and there? Are there known acronyms we can use that are very, very clear and obvious to our audience that they use on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, how much can you get away with abbreviations?
I think you can a bit. I think there's a danger that you can kind of refine something to the point that it reads like a teenager's text message, and you want to avoid doing that as much as you can. I think the main challenge really is, it's like you say, you have to refine something to kind of almost its bare bones, but then you still want it to be interesting and readable and amusing and everything else. So I think that's more of a challenge in getting the copy down, is making it still read like something that you'd be interested in clicking on.
Out of interest, with the kind of tweets that we tend to write, how often do product names get mentioned?
Too often, I'd say. Quite often you have to find a way. If a piece of content is product focused, you sometimes do have to find a way, but it's something that I try to work around a lot. I try to not include it where possible.
I would also assume that, considering that we're in the technology sector in terms of what we write about, that a lot of product names are actually perhaps a bit ungainly in their length.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really long, and that creates a massive challenge. I think we mention product names less now than we did when I first started. I think our clients, a lot of the time, are looking for kind of more enticing tweets, kind of more questions that are posed and things like that that will steer readers in the right direction without directly naming the product.
I think it's just a reaction to what people want these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
They want to tease people through to what they're going to find out, rather than writing a very bland and dry call to action, because that simply doesn't work on Twitter anymore, nor any other social channel.
Yeah, you don't want to know that someone's trying to sell you something. It doesn't want to be right in your face, does it?
It has to feel human. It has to feel human, and it has to feel natural.
Yeah.
The asset may be about a product, but the communication that you're putting forward on through Twitter, through whatever social channel you choose to use, has to feel like a natural conversation.
Yeah.
It has to feel like you're attempting to engage with them as a person, not just sell them something.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, obviously we've so far talked about filling up an entire tweet's worth of 140 characters, but if you're creating tweets that are 140 characters, that does present some difficulties for people who are trying to retweet that content, especially if there's links and pictures in it. What can you do, or do you need to obviously make sure that it's perhaps a bit shorter, 20 characters shorter, so that it can be retweeted without too many things disappearing?
I actually had a client a few weeks ago ask me to take, I think it was another 20 characters or so, it might even have been another 30 characters off a tweet, so people could manually retweet it and add I couldn't quite see the point in it, because you can add 20 characters before a tweet, you're adding a couple of words that aren't really going to add any value to the tweet itself. So in my mind, it makes more sense to just write a good, good tweet or a good piece of copy, and then have people automatically retweet it just by clicking the button, rather than adding their own, really, it's almost a non-thought, isn't it, if you're doing it within 20 characters, I think.
I suppose the issue is whether or not you think that the content and then the message in the tweet itself is enough that people might start commenting on it within the boundaries of Twitter.
Yeah, I'm not really sure if you've got enough room for that in this context, I think. Obviously, Twitter works really well that way in some circumstances, but I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because some tweets we write will just be to spark a conversation, and then that can carry on and people can add whatever they want to that. But others that are directed to an asset, I think you have to choose one job, and it has to do one or the other.
It's a really interesting point, because I don't know about you, John, but for me, the whole 140 characters of Twitter thing has always been a bit of a lie. I don't feel like I've ever had 140 characters to work with. It's just never been that way. It's always typically 119 to allow for a URL, and then more if we want to allow for people to retweet. We're often working with as low as 90, in effect, 90 useful characters then. So that's obviously a major challenge. Now, whether or not people can effectively use that number of characters to add value to the tweet when it comes to them retweeting, that's open to debate. But I think what we need to do is, if people are requesting this, and if our clients and people in the B2B circle want people to be able to retweet that, then that's just a demand that we have to kind of react to and work with.
Mm.
If that's what they're interested in, then that's the way it needs to be. And I think there is value in it. By allowing people to retweet effectively, then you're facilitating perhaps easier sharing, perhaps a tiny amount of contribution. It's going to be minimal. I do sort of agree with you. It's a major challenge.
So I think the value you lose from not being able to write, you know, 119 characters is kind of, you know, more than the value you gain from having someone say, oh, look at this before the tweet you've read.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. If you're, for example, using something like a picture as well to kind of increase the overall Twitter real estate of the tweet you're putting out, you can try to gain some ground back there, gain a bit of extra value from what's going into the picture. Let it speak for itself. Perhaps it's annotated, perhaps there's text, perhaps it's just a bold image that has a clear message to itself. And if you have a useful social asset like that, that's a great thing to share because you can allow the picture to do the talking. Then you can give people enough space to perhaps contribute something valid. But without any kind of additional asset or visual element to the tweet, it's a major challenge, isn't it? Because two people can't effectively converse within the space of 120 characters.
That's a really interesting point, actually, because I think tweets with images, or any social feed with images, gets a lot more clicks than one without. I'm not sure what the statistics are, but I'm sure
I've seen stuff, like, again, I can't remember what the specifics are, but it just seems to generally be the case that tweets with pictures will get more clicks and more reshares and stuff. So
in that context, I understand it, and I'll allow that. But the rest of the time, I'm not keen.
The visual element is a far nicer way to present something, isn't it? If you think about your own social media use, what would you be more likely to engage with at this point? At this point, after using Twitter and social platforms for so long, we're no strangers to them. They've been part of our daily lives for years now.
Mm-hmm.
It does need to be something different, doesn't it? It has to be slightly more engaging. You have to be able to take away immediate value from it, and an image can be worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
Okay, well, talk about things that have been with Twitter for a long time other than ourselves. Hashtags have been one of the core functions on the service for years, but are they actually acceptable? You know, is there a limit to how many you should use for something that's readable, let alone something that people are actually going to interact with? Thoughts on hashtags?
Well, I think they're an important tool, and they've clearly proven popular. They've broken the boundaries of Twitter and found their way to sort of far more other platforms now. And they're a great way to spark a conversation. They're a way of getting people talking about a broad subject, or getting people involved in a wider conversation, or just having put your presence into that wider conversation and contribute to something else. But with that said, I wouldn't say I'm too much of a fan, just because I've seen far too many examples of them used poorly. There's one thing that I definitely, definitely want to avoid always, which is using overly long hashtags where people have to look at it for a while to decipher what it's saying. You should never be putting someone in that position. I think perhaps the most memorable wide example is around the time of the death of Margaret Thatcher. People were tweeting with hashtag now that Thatcher's dead. It was a jovial, slightly poor taste thing, but people were going along with it, and it was widely misunderstood as now that Cher's dead. People thinking somebody else had passed away. Do you remember that?
I do remember. There was the Susan Boyle one as well, wasn't there? With the Susan album party, which when broken up, I suppose you can spell it out for yourselves, but it was a little bit crude and not quite on message.
Well, I think the important point to take away is don't leave something like that open to interpretation.
Yeah.
It should be clear immediately. We shouldn't be having people...
At the same time, though, there's a risk of, say, you've decided, you've come up with a hashtag which encapsulates what you're trying to talk about, but nobody else is using it. Surely there's the risk of using something which nobody's started.
I think this is the problem. I'm not sure how effective hashtags are as a marketing tool anymore. I'm not sure if maybe Twitter's changed from the beginning, when hashtags were kind of one of its differentiators. I mean, if you search for any word on Twitter, then you'll get all the kind of tweets with that word in it. So I'm not really sure, maybe if there's an event and you have a hashtag for that event, in that situation, it brings everyone together and you can talk about it. You've been asked to write tweets where you'd include the hashtag sales in the copy, and you just think, there's no benefit of that whatsoever. Mm. I think it's just a misunderstanding of how the system works. So in a way, I'm not a huge fan of hashtags. I'm not sure what value they add to a tweet, really, unless...
I think if there's something that is already in existence, then it's fine. And if people are actively using it, if it hasn't been... Because I always search a hashtag before I think about using it in a post, if it's something I haven't used before. And if it has been used, I look at, well, how long ago was it? since it was last used.
Mm. That's a really good point, because when they work really well is if you look on Twitter for kind of personal use, when kind of, you know, jokes go a bit viral and people kind of share their interpretations of something, it's an instant reaction to something and it groups all these things together. But the way we write copy, we'll write copy and send it to our client and then they'll use it over a period of weeks or months. Yeah. By then it's almost lost its...
I mean, I suppose also if you, somehow, I'm not sure if you guys have ever been involved in trying to market stuff that's been in on memes from a B2B perspective, but I can just imagine someone trying to get you guys to, like a few months ago, write some tweets where Hail Hydra was like the hashtag, which was in reference to what happened with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because there was a lot of stuff going on with that. And then obviously then the tweets finally go out now and hardly anyone's... using it.
Yeah, I think that's
just the very nature of social media trends, isn't it? When it comes to the release of the copy we write, that delay, it's not something I've really considered too much before. It's a really, really interesting point, I think, is the fact that when to get the most from trends, you have to be current. You have to be on the beat with what's going on.
I got asked to write something about Pharrell Williams, you know, the song Happy. I got asked to write something about that about 4 weeks ago, which was already too late. By the time the tweets would have gone out, it would have been far, far too late. And you just... Well, I mean, that's the, you know, if you want to be current in that way, you have to write your own social media, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you have to be...
Or have someone on the book who will do it straight away.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I feel as other than hashtags, one of the main other features of Twitter is being able to at people or mention them. But I'm assuming with you guys, it doesn't happen too often due to the nature of what you're writing about.
Very infrequently, I'd say. It's not been a regular occurrence for me. I don't know about you, John.
I can't remember a specific time when I've had to do it. It doesn't mean I definitely haven't, but it doesn't. Yeah, it's very rare if it does happen, I think.
So it's one of the things about mentioning, if you do at people, is that according to Twitter's official advice, which they give out on their webinars and that, is that at, if you've got other content in that tweet, like a link, if the at appears before the link, it can distract people from the link. Mm-hmm. So having something like that in the middle could... prove to be counterproductive to what you want to happen with your call to action.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because we've obviously just talked about hashtags, and I feel the same about them, because they're obviously a different colour, aren't they? They're blue against black, and I think that really disrupts the way a tweet reads. And the same at replies, sorry, especially if there's more than one in a tweet.
Yeah.
It gets a bit messy, I think.
But also, I think if you're like leaking to content, if you're with this tweet and you're adding someone, you need to, if there's somebody that's talking at an event and you've done a tweet, that's regarding that event, whether it's a webinar or an actual physical event, then fine, that makes sense, because they'll be talking there and they'll be inclined to retweet it, seeing themselves tagged in it. But if you've written something and you're hoping, like, I know a particular influencer is going to see it,
a bugbear of
then
mine, yes.
you should only at mention them if, A, obviously you've quoted from them, or B, I've got a reasonable read that they're going to probably... be okay with the content you produce, and they'll even
this
like
is the
it
challenge,
or think
isn't
it's
it?
Something that they'll be interested in. One thing I think we need to clarify at this point, because obviously we're talking a lot of these tweets that we're writing here, either you've got the links or there will be links added to by the client at the end of the day. How much room do you need to probably leave for links in tweets?
It's exactly... with the kind of minimized links, is that what they're called? Minimized links?
Shorten links.
It's 21 characters for the link, which means you have 119 characters to write your tweet, but that includes the space before the link's going to be put in.
So what can writers learn from Twitter in of itself?
I think there's a lot that you can learn from Twitter. It's the only case where one of very few cases where you have such a rigid character limit, and it gets you into good practices of knowing the most concise way to get your point across, get things across that in that way. We're working and writing copy in a world where less absolutely is more. You want to always get your point across in as few words as possible. So ingraining that skill in yourself by writing tweets is something that carries over, and it has a wide range of applications as well. If you take a look at something like email subject lines, for example, a lot more things being accessed on mobile devices, you've got a lot less effective characters to work with to get someone's attention. Mm-hmm. You want those things to be as short as possible. And all of those skills that you've got from writing strong, concise tweets are completely transferable into that. It's the same principle, trying to make someone click through to something using as few characters as possible.
Yeah, absolutely agree. It's a real discipline, isn't it? And I think it's like you say, it does teach you to be a better writer that way, because you everything's more succinct, and you see it works especially well in kind of joke writing. You see Twitter's really, you know, good for kind of comedians. It's where a lot of them test out their material, but you can see it's because it's so, you kind of strip everything down to the kind of bare essentials, and it translates really well, I think. So yeah, it is about, you know, doing everything you can in the fewest amount of words, I suppose.
And it does, if you're writing some Twitter seeds as part of a wider campaign, it forces you to get really deep down into the very essence of what it is you're promoting as well.
That's
if you're
really
writing something like an email, you can look at assets broadly. You've got a lot to talk about. You end up talking about the wider subject. But if you've had to go in, really focus on what's going on here, find that one core message, you understand it so much more, and it has a great effect on the rest of your copy.
Yeah.
And just as we're sort of getting near to the end of this episode, I just wanted to talk about some of Twitter's, I say official advice, the advice that they've been giving to businesses in various webinars about things like the structure of tweets. And if you're looking to create a tweet that drives a positive action, their structure, I have found out, is that they think you should first pose a question, followed by giving a solution, followed by a call to action, and then followed by a link. And then the general advice, as we've discussed earlier, was that any hashtags or ads do not have before the link, because it will distract people. But what do you think about the structure they're sort of putting there?
I think it's something we do quite a lot, isn't it? That's that is a structure we revert to a fair amount. But also, I think you have to keep things a little bit fresh, because if everyone then kind of goes to that structure, then no one's ever going to read anything, because it's all going to be exactly the same. So I think you have to try and find new ways of making things interesting, and you have to kind of break the rules once you know them a little bit, I think.
Mm. I think it lines up quite nicely with what we thought the kind of proven format for getting people to click through was. Mm. But as you say, it's all about finding new ways to do it. And if everyone is doing the same thing, things become stale, they become less interesting, and they have a lower effect on the audience.
Mm.
So I think I agree with it, absolutely. But I think Twitter is such a free-form thing. You shouldn't bind yourself to these constraints. If you have a good idea for engaging with someone that doesn't involve asking a question, doesn't involve posing a solution, it just might be something that your audience is interested in. If you're one of those companies, one of those people managing social media that is really, really engaged with their audience, talking to them directly, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, for instance, even sometimes you can just go with the start of that is obviously asking a question. Sometimes you can just do that and then have the link.
Yeah.
And then people, you know, they want to know what the answer is. So you haven't given the answer away. They want to click on the link. They want to find out what it is. I think there's lots of different ways of driving engagement.
You know? I also think it's probably worth noting that in the B2B arena, the questions and solutions can be very complex.
Yeah.
And posing a question and giving a solution, as well as providing a link and relevant hashtags.
In 119 characters.
In 119 characters, does not compute.
No.
That's not often possible for us. So I think one or the other tends to be the case.
Yeah.
With other things available as well, other ways that we like to go about these things, but putting them one after the other, I'm not sure that's so possible for us.
Well, that's all we've got time for in this episode of the Radix Copycast. You can follow Radix on Twitter at radix.com, and you'll find our website at radix-communications.com, where you can also sign up for our monthly e-newsletter for the latest copywriting tips and insights.